The Chai FM Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
Good morning, David Harris. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Howard?
David, we thought that ISIS was dead, and then straws, plastic straws became the new ISIS, then plastic became the new ISIS, now palm oil's the new ISIS. But according to Clarion Project, ISIS isn't even dead.
ISIS is very much alive, admittedly not to the same extent as it was, say, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
However, if we look at events over the last few days, they killed 270 people, really right across what we could say is the Muslim world. So attacks in four countries in Africa, resulting in the deaths of more than 140 people, in Libya, in Niger, in Nigeria, and in Chad. And you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg of what's going on. These happen to have all made the headlines at the same time, but ISIS is carrying out attacks. Whether it's directly through ISIS itself, or in the case of three of those African nations through its proxy Boko Haram, it continues, and it continues also to have support in the West. And if anybody thinks there aren't sleeper cells and individuals who are prepared to carry out attacks in the name of ISIS, we're very much mistaken. And unfortunately, if you think how long it is since you and I last spoke, we're having exactly the same conversation that we had then.
Yeah, which is a bit depressing. So the leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, is he still around?
Seemingly so. Every so often we hear reports of him having been injured or having been killed or whatever, and then he pops up again. Whilst we haven't heard proclamations from him or anything like that for a while, I wouldn't be surprised if he isn't alive. One piece of good news, the French said over the weekend that the head of ISIS in Niger, I'm pretty sure if I remember rightly it was Niger, was killed. So there's sort of one piece of good news. And there are victories the whole time against them in their remaining pockets in the Deir ez-Zor area and so on in Syria and a few pockets in Iraq. They still are up and running. We overnight got another execution video sent to us. Those are still happening. However, what is interesting and shows a change in the execution video that we saw, and it's not the first one like this now, it is that instead of executing all of the people that you see in the orange jumpsuits in a row, they execute one of those people and then say, if you want to save the lives of the others here, send us money. Which means that they do have financial considerations, which they didn't have a couple of years ago when they were printing their own money, when they were controlling oil fields. So that side of things has definitely changed for the good.
How do you recognize ISIS? The reason I ask is this, is that I've been following what's been happening in northern Mozambique. Northern Mozambique is one of our neighbor states. And even last year, this time, I was meant to actually fly out to Jembe Island, which is in northern Mozambique. And at that time, I think it was between 15 and 30 people had been beheaded. Initially, it was thought that it was actually Boko Haram, but in fact, it is ISIS. How do you tell the difference between which arm or which head of the snake it is?
It's very difficult unless you're actually interrogating these people. If you're sitting in a room having captured them and talking to them, which obviously is very difficult to do because in most cases these people, the ISIS folks, Boko Haram people, tend to be killed in combat. So very few of them are captured to get the details. I suspect the best answer to this question is to say that at the end of the day, it doesn't necessarily matter, because once the ideology is out there, once people ally themselves with that ideology, say, I am doing this in the name of ISIS, in the name of Boko Haram, it doesn't matter, the damage has already done. That's as far as you and I are concerned. However, in terms of the intelligence world and its bid to clamp down on these terrorists, it is extremely difficult. And don't forget, you're talking about you know, a third of the world's landmass we're dealing with here, or maybe a quarter of the world's landmass where there are ISIS operations. If you take Africa, all of Western Asia, you know, parts of Europe, it is exceptionally difficult to monitor these folks. Remember, it just in the isolated case of trying to capture Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, who they knew pretty much where he was holed up, first in the mountains of Afghanistan, and then inside Pakistan. They more or less knew where he was and still couldn't get to him. This remains an ongoing problem. I'll give you another example close to Israel. The Sinai Peninsula, where, by the way, parenthetically, reportedly, ISIS just seized a weapons cache that was bound for Hamas in the Gaza Strip, close brackets, the territory there is so mountainous and so porous that very few people know their way around it. So when you've got your Egyptian officers going in trying to find the ISIS operatives in the Sinai Peninsula, they're very often ambushed and killed simply because even the Egyptians, they don't know their way around the terrain. That's how difficult it is on a geographical note alone to find these individual pockets and terror cells.
Very interesting. All right, David, we'll catch up with you through your website, clarionproject.org, and thank you so much for the great work that you do. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week. Take care.
God bless. Bye-bye.